Vijayanan graduated as a pharmacist, but then went into doing an MBA. Marriage, advertising, and product marketing happened. He joined Cafe Coffee Day during its meteoric rise in India and put in systems and standard operating procedures to drive efficiencies. He blew hot and cold, moving from coffee to beer. His love for teaching and writing led him down the path to becoming a brand historian, and on his blog, he has several stories for those who are interested. This is episode 13 of My First Job, the podcast that covers engaging career journeys, and every single one is full of twists, turns, and insights. My name is Venugopal Nair. I'm the host of this podcast and CEO of Ideascape Communications, an advertising agency into branding, creative, and design. So settle in, sit back, and enjoy the conversation. Hi, Vijay, and welcome to the show.
Thanks, Venu. Thank you so much. I heard the introduction. So each person is unique.
You have an amazing following on LinkedIn. You have over 15,000 followers. You have 45 recommendations, which is amazing. Let's start off with the present. From a hot beverage like coffee to a cold microbrewery like beer, which is your current assignment. What is the difference?
The hot and the cold, right? The alcohol and the non-alcohol. And way less of alcohol and the caffeine and less of caffeine. But, you know, if you really ask me, the kind of people who drink, in a sense, are different, but they're not. You know, end of the day, it boils down to the fact that you want to have a good time. It's not like earlier when drinking alcohol was like, oh my God, it's like taboo. I remember when I was a kid.
Is this something, was it always very easy for you to make friends even back in school in Kolkata, was it?
I'm what they call an extroverted introvert. So I get along with a lot of people, but in a sense, I am an introvert. I restrict myself to a certain number of people who I talk to regularly. So it's a very strange, it's a kind of an oxymoron. I believe it's the way I've been brought up. So for example, you know, my grandparents' house in Kerala, even strangers could come and have food at home. So you had that upbringing that you have to be social, you have to talk to people, respect everyone, and different parts of society walking in. And everyone was given that respect at home. In Kerala, and so was the case at home. You know, I mean, my father had a transferable job, so that kind of percolated throughout. Very comfortable talking to, you know, putting my arms around my my office support or even the the senior management. But that's, I mean, I owe a lot to it, the way I've been brought up, actually, to my parents and my grandparents.
So what were the first glimmers of a career like?
Very, very good question. I think I can go on and on and on. I love science. I wanted to be an architect or do something with biology. Very, very differing points, But yeah, then I decided that I'll do something with biology, but I didn't want to be a doctor. So the next good thing was to be a pharmacist. So I actually did my graduation in pharmacy. I graduated in pharmacy. And strangely enough, I enjoyed pharmacy. Let's be frank, I like science. So my goal was to do a post-graduation in pharmacy and then probably do a PhD. And so I had got admission in one of the universities in the US for my post-graduation. I had a year or so to pass. It might sound very strange, but I was bored. So I wrote an entrance exam for the MBA / PGDM. I got through. So I said, okay, fine, I have the time. Secondly, there was another reason also. I had got married very early. So I said, okay, fine, let me study and spend some time with my wife. I mean, she was my girlfriend prior to that. So we took up a place and it worked very well. What really worked for me, what really interested me was marketing. I was always interested in marketing even prior to joining an MBA. Okay. There used to be a magazine called A&M. And I used to devour read that. And, you know, I had a cousin of mine who used to buy these every issue. And I used to read every issue, or borrow from him and read it. So that really interested me. I never thought I'll have a career in marketing. When I joined my MBA / PGDM, that's when I decided that, you know what, marketing is my true calling and let me get into marketing. And even within marketing also, I decided I'll not get into pharmacy. Okay. I want to get into the consumer side of things. So I found that to be far more exciting. It's a personal choice. There are people who got into pharmaceutical marketing and love it. I decided, no, I want to be in the non-pharmaceutical kind of thing. And here I am selling beer for a living now. I had a maths tutor Dr. Bharati Banerjee, who incidentally was my mom's professor. And okay. She was a lady who encouraged me to do a lot of things. She says, no, be your natural self. Don't worry. You've got the gift. You know, do it. And Dr. Banerjee really guided me, helped me, you know, to nurture those inner things, which I didn't know. See, I was a kid at the day in my teens. And Dr. Banerjee was, shall I say, the best in me. I mean, who could see that something was there in me, and dramatics, etc., etc. So all that work, music, I've learned classical music. So all this latent things within me.
When people bring it out, and there is actually resistance.
Yes.
I don't want to do it. So then you said you decided that you didn't want to get into pharma.
So out of campus, I joined Balarpur Industries. Thapa Group at that time, Crompton V is Balarpur Industries. So Thapa Group had posted me, I joined in Delhi, but I got soon posted to Bhopal. I wanted to start my career in sales. They had an edible oil division. So they posted me in Bhopal, that time MP was MP in Chhattisgarh. On one side you had Orissa, on the other side you had Gujarat and UP and places like that. So it was let's just say a baptism by fire. On one side, you had Naxos. The other side, you had the Chambal Valley. Okay? And it used to take, if you just to cross the state, it used to take you 2 days from one end of the state to the other end. So in a place like Jagdalpur, which is in the eastern part of now Chhattisgarh, you actually had tribals. And you go down to Mandsaur, you had people in rifles walking around. So I'm talking about the 90s, you know. So it was a fantastic learning experience. And each region within the MP behaved differently. I was sell edible oil. You shared the driver's seat. You held on to the three-wheeler and you said, and that's the way I started my career. Though I was an area manager at a team of 6-7 people. What do you do? Or you sit in the back of the van. You get steamed alive in that tin kind of box.
Yeah.
And that's the way I started my career. And I used to travel 3 to 4 days a week, and traveling by train, you never flew. How important, I think, yes, I learned and unlearned a lot of stuff. Or I would rather put it this way, not unlearned, I learned a lot more in my first job. You know, the reality of talking to customers, understanding the realities of the market, realizing the frailties of the market, realizing how the market works, the dynamics, which some things which you cannot be taught, you have to experience it, you know, insight into how consumers behave, how retail behave, how shopkeepers behave, how distributors behave, what are those small things which will make a difference. It really took me to the innards of the FMCG system. It was a great learning experience. I strongly, even now, I tell a lot of people, start a career in sales and then move to marketing.
It tells you that you can't come up with strategies that are in the air. You really have to know what the market is like.
It gave me a perspective which was not in textbooks, beyond which you have to take up work.
So what happened? How did you go about making a shift?
They decided to shut the division down for various reasons. And I also wanted to move back to the South simply because my wife was here. So that's when I moved into advertising. Joined an agency called Nexus Equity, famous for the Ericsson commercial, but then they're famous for a lot of other things too. And Nexus Equity became Enterprise Nexus. In sales, you're a very salesy guy. You know, you sell. And then you have a very different perspective, how communication can influence purchase, consumer behavior, so on and so forth. I love advertising even now. It's just that the industry can do a lot more changes. I don't think it moved that much.
So then you moved from advertising to Pantaloons?
I worked in a place called Planet Asia. That was the starting of the dot-com era. And I joined them for a year. As soon as the dot-com era happened, the bubble burst. And then soon after, I joined Weekender. It was one of the most happening youthwear brands at that time. I was there for 4 or 5 years, heading both marketing and retail. That's when I kind of went marketing and retail.
Okay. Let me just interject here. Weekender was one of the earliest young brands, right? Meant for young people.
Absolutely.
So how is it different selling to young people today, a brand like Ajio and a brand like Weekender? Because let's say it's 30 years, 3 generations apart.
See, any audience for that matter, you know what? Evolve over a period of time. So the youth of 20, 25, 20 years back is different from the youth. But likewise for any brand, you also have to evolve with time. You cannot be that what worked 20 years back can work now. It cannot work. You're one of the doyens of the business, so you'll understand what worked then will not necessarily work now. You have to evolve as your customers evolve, their tastes change, behavior changes. So you have to evolve. So yes, what probably worked at that time will not work now. But as a marketing person, since you have to understand the customer, you also have to work on your strategy and tactics, which will resonate with your customer. You don't have social media. I mean, you don't even know what internet is.
Right. So what did you do? What did you do to launch Weekender in the markets which were there at that point?
No, honestly, I didn't launch Weekender. Weekender okay. was an established brand.
It was already there. Okay.
It was already there. I had to just take the, shall I say, the torch and run with it as far as marketing goes. Extending the concept is called Wear Your Attitude, which was very popular at that time. Being relevant to them, being seen in the right places with them. I mean, Coffee Date started in 96. Cafes were in infancy. You used to catch them at different places. And you obviously spoke to them in a manner relevant to where they are and what they wanted to hear. Logic holds good even now. So you have social media, you have microbreweries, pubs, cafes, etc. The basics don't change. It's just that the way you execute your strategy and your tactics have changed.
Right. I think immediately after that was when you got into...
I became an operations guy, a retail operations guy, and I quite enjoyed it. So quickly moved to Future Group. When I was in Future Group, I had no intention of changing when Coffee Day kept calling. And I wanted to meet Siddharth for a very long time. So when the HR person called me and said that, you know, listen, we're looking for a marketing person. What do you join? And I always had Coffee Day from I was a customer, regular customer, and I enjoyed, I visited the cafes very often. I liked the brand. I saw a passion in it, which was coming from, obviously, I never knew Siddharth personally. So when I got a chance to get interviewed by him, and I said, you know what, I have a business idea, let me pitch to him for all you know. And I knew that he had a VC fund and all that. So I went, attended the interview, and I said, you know what, sir, I have an idea. So here's the idea, would you fund me? So very strange way of getting an entry, let me be very frank with you. So that is his typical style, you know, boss, he calls everybody boss in his close circle. He says, hey, boss, you know what, boss? Lot of money, you join me, boss. We'll do something good together. And you'd be surprised, I joined him without even a role being defined.
Okay.
So we had around 3-4 meetings figuring out what I can do for him, what he can do for me. And so there's a final meeting I still remember. He called me to his office, I remember Museum Road. And at 10:30, I get a call from his secretary, Veena, that, you know what, Mr. Siddharth is going to be delayed. He asked me to tell you he's going to be delayed by half an hour and he's very sorry about it. And I said, wow, man, this guy really cares. I mean, he doesn't have to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, so she asked me, do you want to reschedule? I said, no. Anyway, I'm on my way there. I might as well come and, you know. And I said, you know what? It'll be good fun to work with a person like this who respects you as an individual, who respects you for your time. And, you know, I mean, I rarely see people do. I joined him. He says, boss, you know what? I think somewhere inside you, you're an entrepreneur. So I'm not going to give you a marketing role. I'll give you a marketing plus role. I mean, or a business plus marketing role. So let you join me. We'll figure out something. And I actually joined without a role being defined.
But you figured things out.
I joined more as a group resource in the sense that while I was a part of the cafe, I was also not a part of the cafe. So he used to put me on projects, special projects. So he wanted us to start a vertical, work on that project. Did I contribute to cafe? Definitely did. I ran one of the most profitable businesses for them called Airline Catering, which contributed 150 crores of top line, which was catering to all the low-cost carriers like Air Deccan, Go Air, and then soon we added other airlines.
What is that business like?
To manage the onboard food service, food and beverage services for them. A lot of work goes into planning. At that stage, nobody knew the business. So when we got it and then I took it over, nobody had a clue. So we pretty much defined the SOPs, Coffee Day defined, you know, I do believe, no credit to me, I give credit to my team and my predecessor. We kind of defined the SOPs and the standards to be followed at that time. And everything it grew from there. Coffee Day kind of started that whole thing technically. Though Deccan started this buy on board model, we were quickly brought in because we had a retail understanding because Captain Gopi knew Siddharth. And so Siddharth decided to come in. We learned as we went along. And obviously we became special in this business. It became 150 crores, a profitable business. What was also very interesting is that while it contributed to the top line and the bottom line, we also got exposure to the brand on, shall I say, in the sky. Your Coffee Day was there across so many flights, across 2-3 airlines. I mean, it's a great way to connect to the customers. So in a sense, we were paid to advertise our own brand. There's a lot of work we went in, sleepless nights. I used to get calls at 2 o'clock at night, 4 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes there are nights when I not slept, very high intensity operations job.
So what were the calls about? In the sense, was it delivery issues or was it something else?
if I go, there's a whole list of things I can get into. That is not there. This is not happening. You know, okay, there's a VIP coming in. So Vijay, sorry we trouble you, but we couldn't get your ops head. So can you organize things in, let's say, Guwahati? And, you know, I just got the information now. And, you know, there's a problem. So sometimes there'll be escalations. There's a problem now. Something's happened with the food. What do we do? So we'll have a call, quick con call in the night. Okay, let them do this. All that. So operational, typical operations, you know what happens. So certain promoters, I wanted this on my flight, and then problem in Guwahati or some problem in Jaipur. I think airline catering, if you ask me what was my key lesson there, was the importance of SOPs. Everything is SOP driven there, you know. So if you really see the air hostess taking a cart, we call it a cart, taking you through the aisle, the way food is set, everything, there's an SOP to it. So the way it's set, the way the bottle of water is kept in the cart is an SOP to it. In which draw is this particular item? There's an SOP to it. You may wonder, actually, why do we, you know, everything seems to be so process driven in an airline. Some people call it plasticky, but everything is process driven.
These SOPs, again, are based on efficiency, convenience.
I don't think there's any convenience. I think you fall in line. Because, see, it's very strange, right? Airlines, it probably has the least number of accidents. But
yeah.
People feel them really scared going in an airline. Because everything is SOP driven. Everything.
Developing those SOPs among the most challenging assignments? Or
I think the most challenging assignment all across has been people and people's egos. Yeah. Designing SOPs and all that it's not easy, but it's not tough either. But getting people to follow them is a challenge. I keep saying this, the easiest thing for people is to not follow processes. Because we always want to take shortcuts. Following a process is the most difficult thing for a person to do. Directly, I had some 20-25 people, but indirectly, we had around 600-700 people working for us. So that was a lot of work. Which they were all from outside, contractors. And honestly, I was a bit of a micromanager. So it made it all the more difficult for me. I do believe to a certain extent, you have to be that kind of business where every minute counts. So it kind of made me that way. But that was the challenging bit of it. That's when I started handling the packaged products of Coffee Day. Coffee powders, the cookies, later on we had tea. See, only contributing 2%. And thanks to I think my biggest challenge there was when I took it over, we had 220 SKUs of packaged products in the cafes. I brought it down to 30. Don't waste your time on all these small ones. Take your winners, run with it. I mean, in a sense, it's like a BCG matrix, right? You have your cash cow stars, et cetera, et cetera. Take the big, good ones with potential, put your money on it, more resources, time, energy, and let it grow. And that is what we did. Then in parallel, what had happened is that we launched our resorts division called the Sarai.
Okay.
And that I was involved from the time the foundation stone was laid. I was involved in everything, you know, even the menu, room, you know, what, everything, what cosmetics we put in there. I remember the few of us who were there were like involved deeply, you know, what the restaurant we called, you know, what's the uniform.
From the resorts were there?
No, we started off in Chikmagalur and then he'd be two more in Kabini and Bandipur. And then later on he added Andamans to it. And this is where I learned the fine art of customer service, guest satisfaction. Because each room that time it tells was 10 to 12,000 bucks a night. I'm talking about so many years back. It was frightfully expensive. Yeah. That was customer service to the next level, actually.
And it's a different ballgame. It's in a remote place. It's not very easy to maintain standards. It's not very easy to find people to staff.
Yes. Yeah. So in that sense, yeah. I had a very different perspective of what luxury, extra, ultra premium, ultra luxury brand, and also customers who would cater to them. I mean, who we would cater to.
What about the actual Coffee Day stores?
Yes, we had a kind of a template. I think when you're reaching between Cafe Coffee Day and Express, you have to run 2,000 stores. You had to follow a process and a template. So there was a process of site selection. There was a process of food, what food, where, how marketing would happen, how L&D, learning and development, would happen. So there had to be a process, because otherwise, without processes and systems, it would just collapse. So retail, in a sense, is very, very process oriented, very process heavy driven. So you had to set it up there too.
Vijay, what is the role of marketing once it's set at that particular place? Your room for maneuver, is it limited?
The process is set. I mean, the car will run by itself, but you need to drive it, right? Itself, unless it's a self-driving car, but even there are problems with that. I think marketing task is A, definitely from a, you know, making sure that the right communication goes out. I mean, primarily is to get customers to come in. That's the job of marketing, to get A, build on the brand, and that you have to keep evolving, right? You can't repeat the same promotion all the time. You can't keep discounting all the time. You have to make it exciting for the customer to come back to you again and again. You have to create that experience, that, you know, that excitement. That's a never-ending process of keeping the, I can't use the word titillated, but keeping the customer excited. So that process never stops. People will get bored with certain food, so you have to bring in new food. People go to certain beverages, so you have to change the beverages. You have to keep evolving. You have to keep changing. Tastes change. People change. And so you have to evolve with time.
Do you buy into what the Starbucks CEO made famous, his statement about coffee place being the third place? It's not house, it's not work, but it's supposed to be something.
Good question. I mean, I off my hat to Howard Schultz. I mean, I think he's one of the, like Howard Schultz, I think changed the perspective of coffee in India. And I need to interject here. I think Siddharth changed the perspective what people had about coffee. I think if there's a coffee hall of fame in India, and I before I get into Howard Schultz, even now coffee is an emotion for me. Whole lot of us. Hats off to the gentleman that he is, Mr. Siddharth. All of us took it at a very, I won't say personally, we were emotionally attached to the brand. I was talking to my ex-colleagues last week, and we still talk very fondly about Coffee Day. We've still left Coffee Day so many years back, but we still talk in very emotional terms about Coffee Day. There's a sense of belonging, and that's something which I don't think will ever go away from any of us. Whatever has happened, I think that's something which will never go away from any of us. Coffee Day.
That's the wonderful thing about brands. No? You're looking at it from an internal perspective.
Absolutely. I think a lot goes to Siddharth, no doubt about it. I was lucky in that sense to work with Malvika too. Both phenomenal people. Very few people know about Malvika. I think she's a fantastic lady. Many people wonder what she's doing right now. And I believe if there's somebody who can turn it around, it's her. She's more than capable. Great lady, humility. I mean, interacting with her has been one of the best things in my career. She was my boss, and I can tell you, I've had a great time. I've learned a lot from her. She doesn't have those fancy degrees and all that. Very commonsensical in approach. She taught me humility. I mean, you know her pedigree. But, you know, if you really look at, coffee is a passion for me, so I can go on and on about coffee and bore you to death. If you really look at coffee, in a sense, again, has been a social lubricant. So if you know that the French Revolution started in a coffee shop. The Lloyd's insurance brokers started in a coffee shop. There are a lot of startups which start in coffee shops. Still do. So, and it seems to be largely in coffee shops.
That's strange, right? That tea didn't have, tea parlors never took off. It's always been coffee.
It's said that the Naxal movement started off in the India Coffee House on College Street in Calcutta. It is said. So, it is, you know, in fact, I think coffee houses are banned, if I'm not wrong, because coffee used to form in trouble. It's a place where a lot of conversations happen, place where a lot of friends meet up, animated discussions, etc. happens. Even now, I don't think conversations stop. So in a sense, it is a third place. I know there are a lot of other places which claim to be the third place. But in that sense, I think in as far as the US goes, Starbucks really did that very well.
You know, while the office is not a place where social conversations can happen, and people don't feel close enough to some people to invite them home, in which case this becomes a nice neutral point at which you can continue conversation.
Brilliant observation, Venu. Exactly. You know, you sometimes want to break down those barriers.
You called yourself in the beginning an extroverted introvert.
Yeah.
So did this forming a network come easily to you?
See, talking to people is not really a problem for me. I can strike a conversation with most people. But would I strike a very deep conversation? No, not so much. And I find it easy to have work discussions because there is a topic to be discussed. I find it far more easier to have talking to strangers on work matters rather than social matters. So all that happens.
These days, politics is a minefield. So you don't...
Exactly. I was going to tell you that.
That could suddenly define the conversation and take it in a different direction.
Yes, but I do find it a lot more comfortable having striking of conversations in since I do teach.
What is it that students are most worried about?
One thing is that people expect MBA to be the solution for all their problems.
Exactly.
You're starting out your career. So, you know, just chill.
Right.
You have to learn, use them. Yeah, and the typical, what will work in a corporate scenario, what will not. I come in with the luxury of having worked in corporate. So I'm able to handle these questions far better than a typical academic does. So since I read a fair amount, you're aware, and I read a fair amount and I write a fair amount, it's easy for me to bring examples from different businesses and, you know, make it easier for them to understand. And I can say, this is what I did. This is what he did. This is what competition did to me. I've had first-hand experience, you know.
So example, how did you get around to writing about brands? Because I noticed that on LinkedIn, you started picking up these brand stories, first about campaigns, and then you started writing about brands themselves, which I thought was a wonderful way of establishing what really happens.
So I love trivia. I love consumer behavior. So I actually started writing, if you remember the first stages, I started writing on how customers behave. As a part of consumer behavior, I wrote about something about how advertising influenced consumer behavior. And I put a story to it. So then somebody asked me, I don't remember who said, why do you stop? I mean, continue. I said, okay, then I wrote one more. Then I wrote about something. And then, why do you stop? So then I realized that, you know what, people were expecting me to write more. Then I started researching. Then I started writing the stories, how the commercial was made, how the advertising was done. Then I covered it nationally, internationally. I mean, a lot of it is available online. Yes, I just put it together. Then I spoke to a lot of people. It started off with that. I also believe that, you know what, I learn on the way. I think 99.9% of the time, I learn something new every day.
It's amazing how you managed to catch so many creative directors.
Yes, 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 yes. I mean, you know, some of them are extremely forthcoming. US, with UK. I mean, it's strange. It may sound, you know, Honda paper ad, the national creative director, Ken Pepandros. I wrote to him. He responded. He said, I'd love to contribute. Rajan Nair, who created, you know, Complete Man, great. There are a lot of, you know, Sumanto who contributed, who wrote about Maharashtra tourism, Uday. There are a host of people who were more than happy to, Subodh Poddar. I mean, there again, a lot of people are willing to just contribute. Pratap Sutan contributed for, you know, Ajanta Clocks. It makes my task of so much more fun, right? Because they have encountered it, they have seen it. End of the day, what I put forward is what I research online and I put it. But when you have a first-hand opinion or impression with somebody saying, it's so much better and so much fun. For example, she's become a dear friend, Sulekha Bajpai, wrote the famous Pan Parag commercial, Pan Parag Pan Masala. We become great friends. You know? I hunted her. And then she, not only did she do this, she gave a blog. Like Rajan, not only did he give me an article, he gave me a, you know, a podcast. So it's great fun. Yes. I wish I could interview marketing people, but I don't think I have the time for that.
Wonderful, Vijay, because I think for a story that started way back in the classrooms and where teachers found your potential and then you found your own potential.
Absolutely.
And then you figured out how to make the changes as far as your own career went, which I think is the other interesting part about how we arrive at our own destinations, because you make the effort. Your writing and your work that you put in into not just building your brand, but into all the other brand stories, which are a collection, adds to the tapestry of how marketing works and how minds work and how, you know, all of these things come together.
Great talking to you, Venu, as always.
Thank you so much.
My first job, the podcast, is a production from Ideascape Communications. Guest relations, promotions, and creative is managed by Deepa Ravi with occasional support by Venugopal Nair. Archiving and technical help is provided by LPS Jayachandran.